to the Football Shirt Pod. We are back again, but in actually very different surroundings to our usual horn. I was going to say nicer surroundings, but I think that would be a bit unfair because the plough in Austin is our usual. that's very harsh. That. Different, just different. But we're in Harry Brown, London, in Oxford Street, a very fine tailor's, where we've been invited to come in and film and to talk about football fashion. We are all together again, the four of us. It's a joy to be joined by you all. Introduce yourselves for those who have never watched or seen you before. Merce, you go first.
Merce, landlord of the pub that we normally shoot in, but obviously today we are in good surroundings. So
the seat's nicer, isn't it?
The seat's
nicer. It's come
very daytime TV feel, and I'm more for that.
Yeah, I'm into it. This is it. The new Good Morning Britain.
Yeah.
Team.
Can you imagine?
Here we are.
Yeah. He turned on and we were there.
Fucking Christ. Yeah, with Primark in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luis. Be delighted to join for a few pods. Work at Calm, campaign against living miserably, which the boys and girls at Cult Kits always support. So thanks as always for that. And luckily, a football fanatic.
Tell us about the shirt you're wearing as well.
Whether you're watching or listening, it's South Korea's away kit, I think, for the World Cup. So it's that Nike template.
Did they wear it?
I think they did at the very last game, okay. But it's very much the game no one saw. So I think it was Cult Kits number 2 shirt of last year. Got to shout out the person that gave it to me. Went to visit Palamon, lives in the Middle East. When I arrived for the morning of South Korea playing Uruguay, he had got me one of these, and we went straight to a South Korean karaoke bar. Sanjay Malik.
What a guy.
He won't be watching, but if anyone knows him, it'd be the real deal, So we went out in matching South Korea shirts. So that's what I've got on.
David from Cult Kits, one of the directors.
That's a little wave there, David.
to my 700 followers on Instagram. Some which I think are bots.
Not those.
The ones
bots.
With the numbers up.
Cool. Okay, we're good to be back, and it's nice to be here. And it does give us a sort of a theme of debate or discussions for today, which is about football and fashion. I guess we are in a tailor's, and
it's beautiful as well.
It's lovely here. It really is.
Smells great.
Good, doesn't it? But I suppose the sort of ultimate, I guess, the infamy is most associated with that Liverpool 1996. Suit.
So we're getting that out of the way
Let's just get it out of the way, I think. Let's just talk about it now and get it out of the way.
Because everyone knows the stories.
Everyone knows
about
the stories,
The Ferguson's point of view on it. See them over there.
Been talked about a lot, hasn't it?
But they look good.
I don't know. I don't think history
suits you, David James's.
Exactly.
It doesn't suit you, Jason McAteer's.
No.
Colin Moore looks good.
Yeah.
Colin Moore's also got that thing. And I know nostalgia comes up so much of us, but he's got those Oakley sunglasses. The slightly posher kid at school had. He's got them, and there's that
Jamie
metal frame, and they're
well.
Coming back. But they've got the
lovely
to the bins are But so there's a bit of that obviously coming back, but it's widely seen as the worst.
Because obviously, so David James was an Armani model, wasn't he?
Yes,
at the time,
They're
Armani suits.
Because they're Armani suits, aren't they?
He's the reason, I think, isn't he? Do you think Armani just forgot that Rob Jones, Mark Wright, and
Neil Ruddock.
Neil Ruddock were in that squad. Do you think when they saw them walk out of Wembley, they thought, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Forgot about them.
100%.
Possibly.
Too right. I did.
But do you think Harry Brown felt like that when we walked in today?
Yeah.
100%. What are they doing?
Oh, okay.
A few years ago, I was like a lot heavier than I am now, and I did Razor Ruddock in that suit as a fancy dress. I look fucking hideous. So, like, imagine what he looked like.
Bad. What I will say, I mean, presume this will come out, also a Liverpool fan, is there's an interesting perspective on them, obviously known as Spice Boys, but they were part of an era of sort of nearly men as well. So I don't know, 91, 92, obviously Premier League starts, Liverpool haven't won the league since then, and obviously 96 then, but 97's only like 6 years later. Like, I know that's obvious maths in it, but what I mean is they had to wait. But what I'm saying is they had to wait 30 years. But in 97, so the next year, United win the league, don't they? But there's three games, with four games to go, they play each other. Liverpool were top. No, they weren't top. They were 1 point behind, but if they'd won, or 2 points up. But if they win, they go top with three games to go. And it's that that sense of things that mark those eras that laughable to a point, because fuck all was one for quite 2001 was big, but certainly the league for a long, long time. But those suits are that Cantona returning goal, and a win at Old Trafford or a win at Anfield away from it being a bit less embarrassing.
Yeah.
West that's one, about as good an argument as I've got from Zakad.
Yeah, but would we, you know, we would be thinking differently about it.
Yeah.
There's some nice stories about the players didn't know the suit was
I didn't know that until two days
before. So they got fitted in, and the you know, the suits they wore for the fittings were navy blue. So they all thought they were wearing navy blue suits, and then 2 days before they opened their suit bags.
Because the staff aren't wearing the same, were they?
Yeah, I don't think the managers in that were.
Do they wear a grey suit?
God, imagine Roy Evans in that.
Sickly,
isn't it? Strange one. I think the other thing was some lovely quotes from Ferguson about, or attributed to Ferguson from that game when he saw them turn up and he told to Brian Kidd, he was like, what the fuck do they look like? We're going to win this 1-0.
Yeah.
And so it proved.
Yeah.
I think that kind of suit and that.
Another thing Alex Ferguson was right about.
Well, he did get some things right, yes. another thing about that, but that sort of suit is a really good example of the confusing era that was the 90s and fashion sort of crashing into football a little bit at that time. Probably for the first, not for the first time, but you know, in a way that was more sort of, it was Armani, wasn't it? It was like a big, obviously a huge fashion house and wanting to be associated with football. Mm. But that was a weird, the 90s for me was a sort of, odd time for footballers and what they wore. Because I just remember going to games, and sometimes we were hanging around after the game. This is an Ipswich game. I'd see the players would start to come out if you were in the club shop for a while or whatever, you know. And they'd often be wearing these very sort of bright coloured, like woolen blazers with like very large slacks, you know. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if it was a bit of a turning point. Obviously, it was for sort of football in this country anyway, but whether it was a bit of a turning point for football and fashion too.
Well, I think there was an early sign of what was to come in that early stage of the 90s, just before the start of the Premier League and in the very early years of the Premier League, where they're obviously either told to dress smartly, but they could wear what they wanted. So you get these, if you look back through the archives of any kind of footballers leaving the grounds, like you said, particularly like around 91, 92, they've got those coloured jackets, massively oversized, they don't fit them.
Yeah.
They've got a really tight collar, but it's a long cut.
Yeah. Really wide
and
then
they've
ties.
Got really, or they've got a really thin tie that doesn't match and makes them look even wider.
Often
or they've got a really wide one.
Yeah.
And then they've got really mismatched trousers. And in some cases, they're wearing jeans because you can see some of them have gone a bit edgy.
Mm.
And then they're wearing smart shoes with it. It's almost like someone's gone to a lost property box.
But do you think it's interesting when you mention it and the timings and when you mention the Premier League, because I suppose it's player profile that goes sort of cyclically. And obviously, it wasn't about, it's only like, archive footage or whatever, but if you imagine that George Best was railing against something for individualism, the free beat and all that sort of thing, but his profile became bigger than maybe the team in the late 60s and 70s, or he wanted it to, or you're even in a Cosmos shirt now, aren't you? And like, but what I mean is, like, he steps out of the footballing light, and I think in the 90s, so Italy, the biggest league, maybe synonymous with fashion and whatnot, but the money goes probably there first. And in the Prem, you've now got to have players where, through agents and like their stature, profile's big. So how are you going to do that? Well, that walk from the bus to the dressing room, you know, what are you going to be in? Are you going to be wearing something slightly different in that interview? Are you going to be attached to fashion? So David James started it. Obviously, the decade finishes with probably Beckham, but Giggs was doing loads of stuff as well. And I wonder if like...
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, you're cyclical. Yeah. and that cyclical nature of when football sort of plateaus, then someone puts their head above it and being garish is important, because some of the kits sort of went that way as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
We've spoken before, like names, squad numbers, names on the back, that's more individualism.
Yeah.
And those 90s kits, especially after, you know, the TV saturation, that they're going a bit, that it's a bit more garish than it would have been sort of 10 years before as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Particularly, I mean, our business partner Rob he labelled me an Umbro pervert, a 90s Umbro pervert, which...
to be fair,
yeah.
not a bad thing to be branded.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But we were talking about that early kits. I mean, the one that you're wearing now is an example of that.
Yeah.
You know, early 90s, and that. You
what
can
is that
see, yeah, just
Napoli. Napoli. I don't know if it was it the away or the
third
shirt? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Napoli
yeah.
Third.
With this, it's a good point to describe it. Yeah, it's the red one with the sort of Spurs. Spurs had the yellow.
Yeah,
away
they
kit,
did.
Yeah.
Same season.
Kind of on the shoulder.
It's quite a few. Quite a few clubs have shared that template, and the garish, I guess you could call it garish, patterns and everything else that emerged as a result of it.
Yeah.
Is an extension of what's happening in the fashion world anyway. It's just like, how can you make your kit stand out even more?
Yeah.
Therefore, put your club on the map.
It was definitely, because, you know, obviously more money coming into the game as well. And it's like, you know, footballers were obviously, that was going to, where they were dressing was going to change. And a bit like, you remember, like, in the 80s, footballers would often have cars that had their names on the side that were given to them, basically.
Yeah.
That's
with the local dealer.
It's
still, in rugby league, that still happens.
It's still a thing. Well, they actually
have
their names.
So when I go home in St. Helens, there's a player that I see driving an Audi, and it's...
Oh, God.
X name, I'm not going to name it, is name, the local Audi dealer on the side.
What's like, the name of the Audi dealer?
Yeah.
St. Helens Audi dealer.
Which, weirdly, we'll be filming from next week.
We're going to do a drive around.
Freezing, just wait for it.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the same thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's just more money coming to the game. Do you think, you know, obviously the foreign influence of we're all aware of in terms of, we're talking about the Premier League here, from sort of mid-90s onwards, you know, had an influence on fashion as well, maybe?
I think to a degree, but not hugely. No. I don't know.
Like Viali turning up all sophisticated.
We're asking about Hullet and Viali. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think with fashion anyway, it's like you could say, well, it emerges at some point.
But I wonder if anyone. I wonder if it's the you're right in, obviously in general, and it can't be dictated necessarily by like one industry, maybe in the fashion industry. But the having a Viali and a Hullet come into the league, and when they go out and talk about stuff, that dictates, that's an element of coolness, and you know, there's that, you know, that attractive, you know, what was sort of foreign to a point is attractive, not only with the medals and what's in the cabinet that they bring, but that's, you know, you sort of go towards it. I mean, you mentioned, you know, with all due respect, Rob Jones and whatnot, you know, they're not going the other way and someone's going, oh, I tell you what, your brown belt and your brown shoes are nice. But in that sense, I suppose they're successful, so being like them is aspirational. So if they're making certain brave decisions or that are different, a few English boys and British boys would go, I'll have a bit of that. And and that's what, you know, profiles heighten.
Yeah. I think the big thing when the, for me, everything with that just links back to Cantona. He was on the runway. He was all over the news. If you think, we were just talking about earlier, nearly the anniversary of him kicking that geezer.
Yeah.
In the press, when he comes over, he's got this unbelievable thick black leather jacket. Black turtleneck. And he was the first one to sort of, I think for me, he's the first Premier League foreign star. And then if you think collar, just even putting the collar up, nobody else did that.
Yeah.
It's that individualism.
I can vividly remember watching a Football Focus, an early Football Focus, and he'd not that long been at Manchester United. And I was with my granddad and my dad. I can remember my dad saying he just oozes class.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, and he wasn't really doing anything other than just the way he held himself and probably what he was wearing. And that kind of stayed with my dad. Like he always used to bang on like what a fantastic player he was. Whereas a lot of people actually really disliked him because there was that horrible, I guess, older generation were like, oh, don't want foreigners playing in the leagues, you know, or limit the numbers, which made no sense to us.
I was reading an interesting interview with is it Inua, the guy who played for Man City and QPR.
He
was talking about sort of football and fashion, and he was saying that in the sort of kind of late noughties, early 2010s, actually a lot of footballers, there was still a sort of thing in the dressing rooms where footballers would be given a hard time for what they wore, and so a lot of them were dressing kind of down a little bit, so they'd be like sort of safety outfits and like Nike tracksuits and stuff or whatever else. And there was a reference to a lovely story in the, I think it was from the 80s, when Forrest tried to sign Gary McAllister, which I didn't know was a thing. And apparently Clough didn't want to sign him because he turned up to the negotiations wearing cowboy boots.
And that was that.
And that was the basis for not signing.
He's not for me. He's not for me.
Gary McAllister in cowboy boots.
Yeah, that's the. I love that's the thing you're most surprised about. Yeah.
Him doing them whip them like really lovely corners.
Yeah. That's how he practiced. So if he did it in boots, it'd be even better.
Only if he'd taken that penalty against England. Yeah. Cowboy boots. Different. But anyway, so there was that era, and obviously the crazy gang here, where they used to cut everyone's clothes up and all that. That was like, it was quite a masculine sort of brutal era, really, wasn't it? The sort of football came out of, and where, you know, there wasn't
the whole initiation
like,
thing went from getting the shit kicked out of them,
exactly,
to singing a song.
But that's an interesting thing, I think, of people full stop. And I know we've touched on it on the way here and whatnot. What era you start sort of changing, I don't know, the way you dress and whatnot, but that's like fitting in is one thing, and then the seeking to try and be like an individual, it's weird that you don't connect it. And we'll always have, you know, elite footballers, especially the ones with teams we support, on a certain pedestal, but actually imagine going into a dressing ground, into a training ground, a dressing room, whatever dough you're on, and thinking someone's going to rip me from my club. But it's really weird if you're thinking like you're an international and whatnot. I'm not saying that's happened to all of them, but it's interesting who raises to the top, who has that power, where the focus is in the dressing room, and it's still being a thing, you know, like you said, that crazy gangster, fucking hell, like, what, I mean whatever you're going to wear is going to be sort of chopped up by some brute from Wales with number four on his back, but it could be anyone. But
that's a fair point. What about some of the more recent stuff with, you know, obviously AC Milan recently with the was it the off-white suits they had with their numbers on the badge? I don't know about
shite,
that
shite, isn't
it? Shite, basically. It's probably more honest,
not for you.
And Man City's slightly odds. I can't remember, Mercy, you were talking about earlier, who I can't remember who the brand is they worked with for that,
but just some of the, like Pep over the last few years. So that, do you remember that cardigan? Like, it looked like his lounging cardigan. Like, that, I can't remember what brand it was, but it's fucking horrible.
His partner, isn't it? His wife's involved in the fashion industry, so it's often like
she
a sort
get
of.
She?
Yeah, it's like a, it's a, yeah, it's a, it's like a, it's like an extension of what sort of she does. But all of that connection to clubs, Barca have them with that denim brand, and it's like at the absolute top, like when they were, you know, I think even as early back as 09, but definitely in the next sort of 3 years, like treble winning seasons. I can't remember the name now, but again, it's not Harry Brown London, but it was but they, it was the connection they had, but they, like, I they're obviously beyond it, they're awful, but I know put myself in Messi's shoes. Same initials.
I'll admit.
Might feel like a stretch, but if I had to put that on in the morning, I'm going to be crap tonight. It's in front of 70,000 people.
It's a distraction you don't need.
Definitely.
United under Fergie would always go to, you could wear your own gear to the, sorry about mentioning Fergie here, you could wear your own gear to the home games, but away you had to wear the club suit. And it was the whole ethos and value of, look at how serious we are, look at how good we look. And because that, they never wanted to feel that way of, look at the state of me in this. It just makes such a big difference to your performance
as
well.
And then in 2005, they went out in those, the famously pictured boys out in the town in Manchester wearing, I don't know, I mean, look it up, Google it.
Unbelievable gear.
Look
it
up. Serious
gear. I knew this was coming as well, but that is what the...
People are coming back.
Let's talk about it. So it was men. The younger men...
We fume about it, though.
But the younger men who know what they're doing, and a couple of pals and running pubs. But honestly, it's all back.
All that whole look.
Back. Shoes, the baggy stuff, that's back.
Yeah,
but
O'Shea, I think, is it O'Shea's the one where he's got like browns and
he's loving it around East London at the moment. But but all that's back. Yeah,
John's O'Shea revival.
Yeah, he can't believe his luck.
But
yeah, objectively though, I mean,
that was a bad time for fashion anyway, wasn't it?
Is that our fault? We had a brief chat earlier. Because we can name that spot. You can name that spot where you first.
With that clothes.
Whether you've got a couple of quid, like 14, 15, fancy yourself a bit.
Yeah.
And we're looking at Northampton.
So there was, do you remember Madhouse in it?
St Helens, great shot.
So you went, if you had about 20 quid, two pairs of jeans and a t-shirt.
And all the other fellas are in there, aren't they?
Awful everyone. Fashion. Fashion.
So I sometimes think it wasn't necessarily our fault because there was limitations of where you could go.
Yeah,
we were. But also, like, for what we do, I said it to Mess earlier, you go from wearing football kits from. So, as soon as you get a choice, if you bang into the front edge of four or whatever, then you hate them and you bang out of them and you want to go to, what's it called again?
Madhouse.
And then especially us four end up back in fucking football kits later on. So the only thing was, it was. So as a child, it's like, I don't want to be in football kits anymore, Madhouse. And then we've turned out, the four of us, back into football kits. But that choice of, and their formative years, but you just never expect it from the Prem lot. But then those frayed jeans are...
You know, you talk about being a kid. Just wearing kits all the time.
Yeah,
we've got a mutual friend, Harrison, who's one of the best football players I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He went to his first game at Highbury in full Arsenal kit and shinies
and gym bags.
About 8 years old.
As if they might give him a game.
Confident boy.
We've underestimated the bench. Is anyone here ready
George
to play?
Graham's like, oh god. Don't think Ray Parler or Paul Merson's going to do the job today.
Stefan Schwartz.
Is there an 8-year-old Harrison Midler who could come on? Yeah, bring him on.
The shin pads is too much. I get the full kit, but the shin pads.
But are they big, much. Old, cumbersome shin pads?
With ankle support.
Yeah. They're huge.
Horrible things. The Sondico shin pads.
I will ask him if he was wearing his boots. I can't wear his boots to that, could
no.
Yeah, my dad always used to tell me, wherever you go, take your boots. Not literally wherever I go, but you know, anything was football special, take your boots with you. And it was a couple of times where it actually came in handy.
This is great. What, genuinely,
I can't remember what it was now. Like, I think this is probably, I'm going to cut this out, but I used to play for a different team on Saturday. A lot of my mates played for this other really shit village team.
Right.
And I always used to want to go play there because I thought, score goals for them.
Yeah.
Everyone's a striker at that age, aren't they?
Yeah, everyone.
I wasn't allowed to for some reason because this crap village club wasn't properly affiliated with the FA. But I used to go and watch my mates and dad go, take your boots, you might get them. Sometimes I did,
yeah.
It's great. So, you know, there is that. And Ipswich, there used to be, this is completely nothing to do with.
Are you cutting that out because they're not affiliated to the FA?
Yeah.
No, no.
Because you could call it a crass.
Yeah, like
on
crass them in.
Labelling
a past
team crap.
A fair few times, given that, you know,
no,
they
no,
don't
no,
like
no,
it.
No, good club.
Or you've labelled yourself a striker.
Yeah, proper.
No, just, you know, just sort of personal nostalgia, really. I don't think there's any value to anyone. Certainly myself. But Ipswich have got, and they used to have to, well, it's still there actually. The practice pitch is next. I don't know if you've been to Portman Road. The practice pitch is next to the stadium.
Right.
So the back of one of the side stands, you walk out, and there's a pitch there. And so I used to take my boots. It used to be a grass pitch, it was awful, and now it's 4G or whatever. Yeah. And I remember when I was 11, Ipswich played Newcastle at home. Newcastle, Keegan just taken over Newcastle. Big game. Ipswich trying to get promoted to the Premier League. And at half time, I don't know why, there were loads of Newcastle fans out there. Obviously, not they sold out the away end probably, and then the home end. And I just remember playing football with these three pissed up Newcastle. My dad watching, probably getting a beer himself. Me playing football with these three, and I was 10. These three, like, you know, 20 something drunk Geordies. And it was the first time I'd heard the word cunt in Geordie. And basically, this guy shot, he tried to save it. He stood on my ball and he slid over, fell on his ass, and he went, "Ah, you fucking cunt." And I thought, that is brilliant.
That's nice.
I was like, "Dad, you're not going to believe what I've just said." Where were we?
This is worse than one of his stories. Complete railroaded.
I need to touch back on and to link sort of Merseyside or Liverpool to, and I'm into the 90s, but that idea of how people looked and started dressing, going to the football and how it permeated with stuff, and sort of just trainers in general was a real flip sort of culturally and sort of sartorially. And a lot of it had sort of happened in that, what went from, I suppose, terrorist fashion to casual culture and whatnot. It's an interesting one where there's what we remember seeing footballers in those moments. Obviously, I mean, it's, you know, that's why we're here. There's a big business to be made out of it, in both, you know, keeping hold of it and keeping things clean and non-bobbly, but things that are being remade and all the reissues. But if you think back to, you know, switching, and I know we're now in a very sort of smart environment making suits, and then people sort of dovetail between the two. And I think that time in the 70s when they decided to be more casual and having that release definitely started with going to football. And when you were talking about those suits with United, there's a... We once did a little film with Dan Sanderson, who sort of started with Gal and whatnot. We were talking to him about fashion and whatnot, and he spoke about like the uniform. And so even if it's like United suit, but that sense of, you know, those trainers, and I want those, and we stick together, and everyone asks.
Arsenal were really well known for it, weren't they? Their fans really well known, like, that, you know, certain fashions are adopted up in the north.
And that's it, and that's community, you know, that's us, you know, that's our vibe, and we're going, and we wear the same gear, and we want it, or we save a few quid to have whatever. Yeah. And that's your community, and your mate's uniform is really important thing.
Liverpool and Everton all comes from being in Europe and just going over and buying all the traps. And all that sort of stuff.
Cedric Tacchini and all those, isn't it? Yeah. But
Wade Smith was like the legendary one in Liverpool where that's where you'd go and get your trainers from. And I can always remember being in school and getting to go to Liverpool for the day and going to the big massive weights and it just being like the best day out to just go and get trainers or a jacket or whatever. It's so good.
It would have been dead different.
Yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it? They were all going abroad all the time and just
statement to say that you're into football as well, yeah. isn't it? As much as anything else.
And that you've been somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I know we've touched on it before, even while I was saying, well, what was one of them Oakley glasses? I was old enough to remember.
Still got mine.
You're right, but this is it, but you're old enough to remember where someone had to have gone to America to get it. I know we've talked about the Raiders before, but someone had to have gone to those matches to have some sort of Neapolitan joint or.
Yeah. And that's now, you look at any football shirt, lifestyle shoot. And they've got the big cycling goggles on and all those Oakley sunglasses. Mm. That's all backs. It's all synonymous. Like just that little pinch of it. It's kind of make you look at the older fashions, particularly from the mid to late 90s, where, like you said, the fashion is very confused almost. Mm. People don't really know where they fit within it. Everything's oversized or just looks awful.
Yeah, people have got a bit of money but don't know how to spend it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about that sort of noughties, late noughties, where the footballs are dressing a bit kind of like they wanted to be a bit sort of like grey men basically, but and fashion generally then was absolutely awful, wasn't it? It was just horrible. Like look back now, there's no charm to it at all, is it? It's just so bad, like really bad clothes. But the football kits were the same.
Yeah.
Like if we were to pick our best kits, none of them would come from between probably 2002 and what, 2018 or something.
Yeah. Very few, I would say. Very. Probably count them on your hand that you could actually say they were really, really good.
Just the template area, isn't it? Of everyone just being mass
produced. Comparing that to the decade before,
he's going to throw a curveball in.
No, I'm not, but only because it's got a couple of times. When we did the Premier League anniversary, still maintain that 04 has to, maybe this year, 04 has to be Arsenal's best ever year. 08, United fans always say is theirs. And then Chelsea, maybe 2012 because of Champions League, but that Mourinho year. So you actually still talk about a decade where three of the top current five teams in the country would have been at their peak ever. So it's weird sometimes that you don't, and I still also don't think we look back at that era and say, oh, the football was boss as well. But obviously the kits were a lot more on, that's also when sponsors changed a lot, and we've discussed that, which is they're all almost entirely crap now. But like what you said, Reg Vardy was on Sunday, but what I mean is you're nowhere near that anymore. But it's weird to think that at the peak of the footballing powers, it's still an era you don't remember. And maybe sometimes it's because it is things like the kits weren't good enough, or you remember certain eras, not just nostalgia, but at the moment, you know, the World Cup, amazing for kits and that. But actually, it's really important to have to visually connect what your team or what the league looked like, not just how good the football is or what the success is.
Yeah, that era is weird, isn't it? Because my favourite kit from that is the 2006 Trinidad and Tobago World Cup.
Yeah. You're going to have a bit of context.
No, regular fans. Either you're part of the cult kits cult, or
welcome.
So there was a blog published on the Cult Kits website that was the best ever World Cup shirts. It wasn't written by either of us, and it was the Trinidad and Tobago 06. I'm sure you'd all remember it. Did come out.
It's an opinion.
It's an opinion. It's a game of opinions, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We should move on.
And two halves. Anyway,
you should move on.
Yes.
Okay.
Quick.
It's competition time on the Football Shirt Pod. If you want to win a £50 store voucher for cultkits.com, all you have to do is DM us on Instagram or Twitter the answer to this question. What colour was the kit that Liverpool wore in the 1996 FA Cup final? Think you know the answer? DM us to be in with a chance of winning a £50 store voucher for cultkits.com.
Can we just talk about Messi and Ronaldo? How horrendous their dress sense is. Like the two, probably arguably the greatest players ever, but you know, certainly top five, Ronaldo, Messi obviously.
Shocking.
Just consistently bad. Like from the moment Ronaldo joined United wearing that, I don't know.
Jumper's bad.
What is that? Who is that made by? It must be expensive, mustn't it?
Yeah, is it Armani?
Cut jeans.
Is that an Armani jumper?
It's got Armani.
She won't listen to this, but my partner, she's a real big fan of a jerkin. And that's what she calls them, but he's in one of them. And it's an
I was wondering where this is going.
And it's an absolute disgrace. Again, the chances of her hearing this is unbelievable.
Podcast.
No. Yeah, maybe the first 5 minutes and the last five, but luckily this is bang in the middle. And with 3 minutes to go. But it's that. But again, as in, he just shouldn't have been in it, but it is the jumpery jerking that's
horrible.
And really putting the jerk in it. Yeah.
I sent him a picture last night. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen the kits they were both wearing last night in that game?
Yeah, awful.
That PSG one is hideous.
And that's the latest Jordan.
The Jordan.
Don't get me started on that. But then the Ronaldo kit, that font on the number, and it's fucking horrendous.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who the manufacturer of it. It's bizarre.
But you sometimes, I think you alluded to this before, that those, especially with, like, with their names on, so 7 Ronaldo, yeah. 30 Messi, no one will buy them, and then they become this odd grail kit later on, yeah. because so few people bought them, so they've never remade, yeah. and then people are after them in a few years' time.
Yeah, there's a reluctance, I guess, from the manufacturer to, obviously it's based on how many units are going to be sold, etc. So there's a reluctance, and then there's only a certain amount in circulation, and then depending on what happens in that season or something like that, then that's how a shirt can be sought after for a collector, not necessarily as a piece that people just want to wear. Yeah. Whatever. I think with the Jordan brand thing, it's because it's the Jordan brand
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
they're immediate collectibles because people have that brand loyalty.
To buy
it's not
crack
for me,
kits.
But I totally yeah. It's not for me, but or for us. So, but at the thing, same time, it's you know if we got our hands on X amount of them, would we not sell them? Of course we would. But
yeah.
From a personal perspective, I would never want to buy or wear one.
Yeah. Mm.
Can we just go back to what my point was, which is Ronaldo Messi. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronaldo has consistently throughout his career dressed really badly.
Yeah.
Consistently.
I think when we were saying earlier on about is it about them just wearing the most expensive items? It's like
just got yeah. no idea.
It's literally like that.
Messi. Look at every Ballon d'Or he's ever won. Look at what he's wearing.
Yeah. Horrendous.
He wore some so kind of bad. Hugh Hefner smoking jacket.
Well, it's not Harry Brown. Burgundy
jacket. He's not wearing Harry
it's
Brown.
It's not Harry Brown.
He
should
do.
He
should do.
He should do. He looks great in that.
Harry yeah. Brown of London, yeah.
We've got that little tiny one, haven't we, that he could get in?
I'll get it.
Neymar, also. I mean, anyway, Neymar. It's probably dedicate an episode to Neymar. But, yeah, just, I don't know, weird.
Who's good then?
Sorry,
who's good?
Is good? That's a good question. Well, you tell me.
I'd go back to the understated things. I still think profile, people advising them, one, they've not, the very highest level, they're not surrounded by a lot of people who are going, you look crap in that.
Yeah.
You know, because you make your own decision to a point. But I think it's the standing out. So I think, yeah, personal opinion, it would be someone sort of slightly understated who sort of came in.
You know who I thought looked amazing this year, and I can't tell you
go
can't
on.
Tell his name. Do you see the Japan manager at the World Cup?
Yeah, it'll fit
lovely
him, didn't it?
Piece,
yeah, and it fit him.
Slimline suit, yeah. Stunning.
Was it Harry Brown?
It was with Harry Brown.
Was it? Yeah.
Harry Brown of Tokyo.
Yeah, Harry Brown of Tokyo. But you're right. Who is? Yeah, who is? Because I think again, it's back to that profile. And this is awful for any sort of media, whether visual or audio, to not have an answer. But
I thought the England lot this year looked really
good. Yeah, looked right, didn't they? Yeah,
and the Welsh, and that's just Marks and Spencer, isn't it?
So we did a piece recently, Dugout Dandies, and the Japanese managers number two, I think, possibly number one, but you know. The likes of Scott Parker, he's come out with some absolute corkers.
Yeah. Wait. Good. You're saying good or bad?
Here? I think they're on a level.
Confused by
I think they're on the fence.
I like Pierre. Yeah. I know it's a really boring answer, but it's quite effortless.
Chunky
knit.
I mean,
doesn't feel like he's put a lot of thought into it, but he just looks great. I mean, maybe just because he does look good.
So I would say that if he wore some of the same things as Scott Parker did, would you be judging him? Would you be saying that looks really cool? No one else can pull that off because it's Pirlo. Because he's not wearing anything particularly.
Well, Scott Parker is now an international manager, isn't he? He's over in Belgium.
He's in the Champions League.
Yeah,
Club Brugge. Yeah.
Got that gig.
So maybe we'll come back with a bit of flair.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll all be wearing cardigans with
those stripes on. Yeah, I hope so.
All right, that's good. Well, let's. David, you've got a couple of shiny packages.
Yeah, two mystery,
a couple
two
of
mystery
shirts,
kits.
As is always the way with the pod. Should we open them up?
Yeah. So, Merce, I'll give you this one.
Oh, lovely. Thank you very much.
And Luz, you can have that one.
No, you go first.
Is there any sort of theme here? Or
just no. They're just two amazing shirts. They're actually from our archive, so these aren't available. These particular shirts.
You said this with that Cork shirt, and then somebody bought it. So you lied. So is this?
The Cork shirt. Hold on a second. Let me tell myself and the business.
Here we go.
The Cork shirt. We were pretty inundated with people saying,
right,
okay. "We want to buy it."
Okay.
And we've had the opportunity to potentially get another Cork shirt. So it's
okay.
Like, well,
oh wow.
We listen to our public.
We should go to Cork and film.
That'd be good. Good.
Yeah, it's a big one.
So this.
Wait, hang on a minute. Can we just say what it is first?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what year, but it's a Lazio home shirt, isn't it?
It is a Lazio home shirt.
And the banker Di Roma.
I've not seen that shirt it's in that condition for a very long time. Yeah, yeah. Normally, that's really, really faded.
Yeah.
Or there's the some sponsors just a nightmare.
Banker Di Roma sponsor.
Yeah,
it is in great shirt. Yeah. And what year again, remind me, David?
I believe it's 93-94. Might need to double check that.
Might be even beyond. Might be later. Couple of years into there. It was definitely around 94.
It's really confusing with these seasons as well, because there's discrepancies in the make of it, and even though they're part of the same season. So.
Oh, really?
And
But this
described yourself as a number of pervert earlier.
Pretty much.
Yeah, here we are.
What size is it?
Medium.
God, they're big, aren't they?
90s medium. Thankfully.
It's like a large, yeah.
I was going to say.
Maybe I'm not getting bigger, it's just that the
shirts are getting smaller. Fashion's getting smaller.
Yeah, fashion's just getting smaller.
Yeah, I would say, like we were saying earlier on about, you know, kits that we were saying off camera, we were saying, you know, to rescue one kit from your collection, what would it be? I think mine would probably be the black Man United Cantona shirt. And then I think closely by this.
Did Gascoigne wear that?
He did, yeah.
Must have worn that.
That's nice as well.
Yeah. The shorts were nice as well. I remember the shorts with that.
You didn't get a hold of that shirt unless you went to Italy on holiday.
That was the way then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember my uncle went to Orlando and I got him to buy me an Orlando Magic shirt and the shorts. So it's the only way you could get them then.
It's mad,
isn't it?
With your Penny Hardaway stussy.
I just bought a pair of trainers that were close to it was them days. And it was Penny Hardaway.
You talked about this before.
Have we? Penny Hardaway was. So they'd reissue it anyway, but yeah, so weirdly, Orlando Magic coming up twice in 2 days is quite a rare thing.
Yes.
But listen to our On the Hardwood podcast coming out next year. Isn't that okay?
Good name.
Yeah, I think so.
Right, here we go.
There we go.
Number two. By the way, these are beautiful.
Thank you.
Tell me where you get them from.
Off camera or off?
Harry Brown, as it
Harry
goes.
Harry Brown. Oh,
yeah.
Fucking Alsfire. Here we go.
It's a fucking
It's got the lot.
Yeah, hasn't it?
It's a Euro 96 England.
Euro 96.
You forget about that blue, look don't you? Blue
patches. But even with this, look at the branding on the badges and everything.
Yes, yeah, so it's got the Fair Play, FIFA UEFA Fair Play.
UEFA?
Yeah, UEFA Fair Play.
What's the other side?
Oh, just the Euro 96. It's sort of short, isn't it?
Which is love. God, how thick it is as well.
Yeah.
It would be plastic now, wouldn't
You'd be all right with it.
And Pierce on the back.
Outside
that's
today.
Stunning, isn't it?
One of the great fonts, I think, isn't it?
I think it probably
dedicate
is.
Dedicate an entire episode to... That is a great font.
We get Jose font
on. It's just so instantly recognisable, isn't it? The double, the blue and the light blue, the dark blue and the...
I love, and you don't see it enough nowadays, a centre badge.
Yeah.
Who did it
at
the World Cup? US home shirt? Which didn't quite look right in the end, but maybe their away shirt. But I agree.
A lot of the international kits have made a comeback with a centre badge. Obviously, England had it recently in the latest Euros. Yeah. But
The number is. It's not too. It's bigger, isn't it? But then it's not. Yeah. It isn't too. When you're looking at it, it's amazing.
It's got that almost American football.
Yeah, there is a different size. There's a different size to it, and it's sort of off the page.
It's
off
a varsity font.
So it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Anyway.
Great shirt.
Getting lost in it. Just screams that pen, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And he screams after that.
He truly,
beautiful.
Love your shirt. And Davey, you've also brought a shirt along.
Yeah, well, just because it's
release.
Obviously it's been heavily, heavily on social and everything else. Obviously the new release, which is the Italy home shirt. Now we have ordered the away as well, but the delivery man decided to do it in two shipments, so we haven't got that to hand as well. But the table, ironically, looks exactly like the away shirt.
It does.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's actually worked out quite well. But, I brought it in just to, I guess, get opinions, really. What's the thinking about the shirt? Because
I
think...
Nice detailing on it. The flag down, the flag trim down the... How do you describe this? Side?
The side hem.
Do you know? No. Yeah. One of the people here from Harry Brown.
There's some really nice detail over it. Obviously, this is not the player issued ones. Obviously, there's lots of nice fine things for that. But
it's quite nice detailing with
working
to
a budget and all that.
How do you describe that sort of effect on the front?
The marble.
Is it marble as well?
Yeah,
I suppose so, because the white one's much
marble. White one is blue
now. Yeah.
Do they is. Is there an assumption? When did they go to Adidas? Would this have?
This
do
is,
they go to the? Do they make one for the World Cup? Even though they don't go, I know they're not there in 2022.
Well, they're now with the contract with.
So I wondered whether this is made for then. maybe, and then they get it out now to then sort of reissue in, because it's got the no, maybe they're all doing that.
I guess
now.
It will be, yeah. It'll be used for the qualifications, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then,
yeah.
It'll be another kit for the, by the World, time World Cup comes up, but I guess you've got the Euros first.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, good.
I'm all right.
I like
with
it.
It.
I'm surprised that I like it, because when I first heard that they were doing it, I was like, that shouldn't be allowed.
Go on.
And I don't know why. I've just never associated the two together.
Yeah. Do you reckon? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you mean. And then there's been a lot of the feedback that we got on social was it should only ever be Deodora.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting.
We were talking about earlier, should international teams only wear their manufacturers from their own country, which 100%. Would be great for us, wouldn't it? Because we'd have it.
Yeah. That's, yeah. But we were also with the Scotch geezer earlier, it was really struggling, wasn't it? So yeah. There's that sense of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think when they bring out an all block blue one, it will look amazing.
Yeah.
But I hope they also do it with the old badge.
Yeah, but the badge is
a letdown.
It's
just, I think that's been the common, opinion.
Because they're doing the semi reissue stuff, and it didn't click twice. We sent it around a group we were in, and a pal of ours said, "I don't think I can get behind it." So, and it fucking looked amazing. It was white, had like the tricolore on there and whatnot. But what he was saying was, it looks just like the old Nike gear. So it feels even two or three decades later. Not this, sorry. They're doing some reissues. Oh, so they're using the old badge.
Right, yeah.
They're using, I don't know if they're using the trefoil, but they're using the, and it's like a bit of the chunkier, like almost windbreakers.
Yeah.
Like. And so it is Maldini. It's 96.
There are touches of that.
Yeah.
Nike here with the gold, you know, the gold trim around the neck and the.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I can get behind it, but it was interesting that he was like too much of a purist.
White's amazing. That whole, there's that, and then you get to, from that, which they look quite baggy. So then they go to the Euro 2000, where it's that skin tight
Kappa.
That
Kappa, yeah.
What was that template called? It had a name. That style.
I don't remember. It had
a name. It was like.
I can't remember what it's called. It's done by quite a famous designer. It was always given that extra thing about the whole either offside or being pulled.
But yeah, the badge is a disappointment. I think Italian United badge.
But I think they'll come good. There'll be some great bits for that. They'll look after it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been saying this, but it does look like a Leicester shirt. With that, if you take away the hem trim, it does look very Leicester.
Yeah, it does.
And I think the shorts are blue as well, aren't they? Is that right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, somebody we know who we follow on Twitter was absolutely appalled by that. So it absolutely ruined his day, which I thought was a tad over the top. Not even Italian.
I get it.
Anyway, yeah. Right, I've got a little quiz. And I have ripped this idea off. Okay, don't cheat. Because the answer's on it. So the way it works is this, all right? There isn't a prize, but maybe there will be a prize.
The Slowly Colin quiz.
Depends on what you do.
I'm terrible at these types of things. I'm just going to stall, so.
Well, don't.
Embarrass
yourself. Because, you know, this is your job. You work in this arena. You
should
know. Actually, it's not actually about football. Right, so we talked right at the start. We talked about one of the most infamous suits ever associated with football, Liverpool, Manchester United.
Right, I know it's
what I want you to do is in a round robin. Is that right term? Anyway, we'll go around and you basically have to tell me who played. I need a pen actually.
God.
Hang on a minute. Let's do that again. Hang on, no, we'll carry on. Just carry on talking about yourself. Okay, so the quiz is this, right? I'll go around in turn.
Yeah.
Start with you, and you've got to name me. You've got to say a player who was either in the starting 11 for either team, United, Liverpool, 1996 FA Cup final, or on the bench. Or you can have the managers as well.
Do you have to alternate between the teams? So if he says Liverpool here, so then go to United.
Of course. So just anyone.
Okay, so any player. Like,
you've got three subs.
Yeah.
So it's 14, 28. 30. You've got 30 players to get. You can
be here for a while, can't we?
I'm going to give you
one. I don't think we will be.
I'm going to give you one life to start with.
Yeah.
If I think you're doing really badly, you might get another go. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, Lewis, go.
Jamie Redknapp.
Correct. Merce.
How many did you say?
You keep cheating.
I'm sat next to you, so it's hard. Right.
Peter Schmeichel. He's correct. Davey.
Gary Neville.
Yeah, no, he came on. He was on the bench.
In off the post.
I think he came on after they scored, possibly, or very late in the game.
Yeah,
he
did.
He was lucky.
Ryan Giggs.
Giggsy was there.
David James,
yeah.
Two keepers out of the way.
Yeah.
Right away.
Cantona scored the goal.
Eric Cantona, correct. Captain that day.
Stephen Mack
started. Yes. He was sort of quiet. Anyway.
Would they have had sub goalies?
What, that would have come on?
No. Oh, is it on the bench? Is it players that have got to come on, or can you have people just on the bench?
Just on the bench.
Anybody, oh, fuck, all right. Yeah.
Anybody you like. That's a really good, it's a bit interesting one, this.
Because I think I know who the two keepers would be from that era.
I'm going to give you a clue here. There was one sub goalie.
Between the two teams?
Yeah.
Is it like in hockey where he comes on through the one?
Yeah.
Who would have?
Oh, unless my Wikipedia-ing went wrong, there's only one.
I'm going to go Steve Bruce. Not as the goalie, just as the
Steve Bruce. Steve Bruce did not play.
Fucking hell.
Steve's left out. He's left out that season.
That's when he left, wasn't it, that year?
Steve Bruce, right. So Merce,
that's why Kentonar was.
You've lost
captain.
The lies.
Gary Pallister.
Correct.
Yeah.
Pally. He played.
So the left back's easy.
Yeah.
Stan Collymore.
Stan Collymore, yes.
Go back to my goalies. It's either going to be. It's going to be Gary Walsh or it's going to be Tony Warner.
Who are you going
to go for? Gary Walsh, surely.
You're correct. It's one of those two.
One of those two. I'm out of it, aren't I? Tony Warner.
Yes!
That was close.
Life on the edge.
This is bad. I've never heard Tony Warner. Sorry, Tony.
So 50, as a 50-50, who wants to be a millionaire moment now?
It was, wasn't it?
Texas.
Dennis Irwin.
Yeah, Dennis Irwin. Solid.
You can have
managers as well, remember? If you want.
Oh, them, God.
If you're struggling.
I like getting the easy ones out of the way. So, Alex.
Didn't handle that at all well. Anyway.
Roy Evans, then. If we're getting that easy.
So, we're actually including coaching staff and managers.
All the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Assistant. Assistant. I was going to say it. I was literally about to say that.
Maybe.
Assistant manager. Brian McClair. No? Not even on the bench?
Not even on the bench.
I think that's when he starts phasing out, isn't he?
Robbie Fowler.
Yeah, Robbie Fowler. Are we still...
Hang on a second. Who's next?
Me, isn't it?
Yeah. No more goalies. The goalies are gone.
Have we got any Liverpool centre-halves yet?
We've talked about some of these people.
Have we got any Liverpool centre-halves yet?
No.
Or any defenders?
Not really, no. You've sort of left the back four.
John Scales.
Back five, sorry. John Scales, yeah. Played for Ipswich, as you would all famously remember.
Did he?
David Beckham.
David Beckham, yes. Yeah. Stop looking.
I'm not looking.
Rob Jones.
Rob Jones, yes.
If I get... I want to say the Liverpool centre-half, but I think Neil Ruddock.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah,
it is.
It's not.
He's out.
Which I'm really confused by because he's definitely in the suit, wasn't he?
He's my next guy.
So he was in the squad, wasn't picked to be on the bench.
He's just turned up in the whistle.
Oh,
fucking
hell. He's just allowed on the team coach.
So I felt like we had the bus there
because
I said we've been talking about
some of those players. So who would have been?
Red
Herring. Their centre-halves.
Okay, Davey. Play five at the back.
Did they?
Yeah.
Liverpool did.
United.
No, sorry, Liverpool
played. Liverpool.
And Neil Ruddock didn't play.
He didn't play.
Beckham is on the pitch.
You said Beckham.
Yeah, no, I said if Beckham was on the pitch, I'm going to. Paul Scholes?
He was on the bench.
He definitely played.
Yeah, I can't remember
if he had
got. Yeah.
When they lose Ferguson because of that photo of him with his knob out.
Yeah, that's it.
Has he already gone to Inter?
Paul Ince
is. Is it? Yeah.
Afraid not. Right, Merce, you're back in because these both guys have lost a point each, and we've still got a few to go. Okay, so you've got two lives now.
So back in.
Yeah.
I feel like you're just aiding Merce to the win here.
I think he threw me under the bus for Neil Ruddock.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Is Andy Cole in?
Yes.
Yeah, he's caught that season.
Oh, yeah.
Davey.
That was going to be my next one.
You're missing some big names. Central midfield, big names.
Oh, I know who's going to be on.
Roy Keane was injured, wasn't he?
You can't ask me questions. That's not how it works.
Roy Keane was injured that season. I'm going to go for Keane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Waste of life. Gets injured the next year at Leeds.
Yeah.
Nicky Butt.
Yes.
So Gary Pallister plays and Steve Bruce doesn't play. Who else are Man United playing at centre half?
This is good. This is good. Or right back. Thinking.
Or right back.
Yes. Gary Neville was on the bench. Gary so I've Neville's got. I've got a right bench. Back.
It's going to be Paul Parker, isn't it? In his last year, maybe.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
No, he was at QPR that season. At that point. Yeah, because I was like, I was going to go for Paul Parker, but he went to QPR at the beginning of that season. Is that right?
I don't know. I've got that much detail here.
Pretty sure he did.
You'll go.
I'm pretty.
Who's
going
to be?
Yeah, same. I've just worked it out as well.
What, right back?
Who's going? Yeah. Leave it out. No, I can't fucking believe it.
I can't either. Yeah.
We've talked about a couple of these players actually.
Viale. Lots of love.
Think about, I mean, you're missing a couple of Liverpool defenders. Three, actually, technically, sort of. You're missing Liverpool central midfielder.
Was John Barnes there? John Barnes?
He was still there, yeah.
Captain of Liverpool.
Yeah.
David May.
Yeah.
He was right back.
And you know what?
Was he centre half?
I'm fucking fuming about that because. Yeah. It's my favourite celebration of all time, and I think about it a lot.
What
the team made the Champions League final, where his dad tells him to get the seat.
Right.
He doesn't play. He plays 2 minutes in the whole campaign, I think. And when Schmeichel lifts it, he has a chair behind them to stand on. So if you look at any United celebration, it's David May with his arms like that.
In the Champions League.
So think about it a lot.
Yeah, okay, I see. Right. Okay. Davey.
United right back, I know it isn't. It's really fucked me off that they go with it.
You've got a United sub you're missing here.
Yeah.
Why are you showing it to him?
He's out.
Oh, you are? Definitely out, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's out. He lost his two lives.
Yeah,
Yeah, no. I would not have gone for him. You're missing three Liverpool defenders. We've definitely talked about one of them. I've mentioned two of them myself.
We said Phil Jones.
Phil Jones.
Is it Phil Jones at Liverpool?
Rob Jones.
Rob Jones
is gone.
United.
You're missing a United defender and a United sub. You're missing a couple of subs from Liverpool, one of whom we've talked about.
Well, Fowler was there, wasn't he?
Had him.
McManaman? Said him?
Had McManaman, he's gone. Defenders, you got Liverpool defenders.
Yeah, I think
a sub winger and a sub striker.
Oh yeah, Liverpool. Fucking hell, yeah.
Rush.
Ian Rush.
Is it? Yeah, I wouldn't have gone for that. Phil Babb. It's got to be there.
Phil Babb. Yeah. Cool, you're doing well, actually.
He was going to be my next one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to go.
Yeah,
Davey.
Oh, can I go?
That United right back, you'll kick yourselves. Right. It's mad that he started in this game.
Phil Neville?
Yeah, that was Phil Neville.
Yeah, he was moved on to the right, wasn't he?
Phil Neville.
Stinging you beyond a bit? No, is he not?
Shout, though, good isn't shout. It? Unlucky.
Good shout. That's your second life gone.
It is.
That means you're out.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Did you go first?
Yeah.
So Davey's got to get this to win, otherwise you're back in the game.
As if you're on a business there. As if I've said it.
Phil Jones. Mate. Come on. Schmeichel, Phil Jones.
Phil Jones.
You've got four players to pick from. One United.
It's not Phil Jones. Phil Jones definitely wasn't there at Man United. It's still there now. Schmeichel. Phil Jones? Neville. David May. Gary Pallister.
Yeah.
Dennis Irwin. Beckham. But
I'd give up on United. Yeah. Unless you get the sub, I don't think you'll get.
I'm genuinely devastated about that. Sub, not getting the sub, yeah. He's played an integral part of my life.
but Liverpool, you've got a player with these two of these players we talked about. Yeah, two of the three. One of them's a sub.
It's not a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think.
At United, on some edge, he's played an integral part of your life.
Didn't go with a sub goalie.
That's mad, isn't it?
Classic Fergie. Got it right.
Yeah. Vindicated at last. If anyone's still listening.
It's not Kanchelskis because he was already at Everton. So I'm just trying
to get time.
That, by the way, if you think of Kanchelskis at Everton, is a big link to the United sub. I'll tell you why afterwards.
We said his name already, though. David Beckham. David Beckham was already on the pitch.
It's another.
Another link to Kanchelskis.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hurry you up here because I'm not sure this is...
I don't actually have an answer. I don't think I have got one for a Liverpool either. Oh,
brings Lewis back in the game.
How many did you say left for Liverpool?
Three.
Yeah, I can't call them defenders.
So Colin Walls.
Yeah. Okay, you don't know. Right, that's your second line. Lewis, you're back in.
Should we draw it or yeah?
No.
No.
Have you got it? Unless you, if you haven't got it, we'll call it a draw. But if you have,
oh no, I thought Lee Sharp might be the sub.
Yes.
Oh,
fuck off.
Really?
you know what the link is to Kinchelskis.
Yeah, we had a chance for a draw there. Oh,
Lee
yeah.
Sharp. Lee Sharp is the one that dislocates Andre Kinchelskis' shoulder when he first goes to Everton and they first play.
Oh, is it?
That's good.
Put him out.
That's good. That.
I'm devastated.
We've basically got two Liverpool defenders or a Liverpool.
That's what I'm disappointed with.
Winger. And I'm going to have to enforce some sort of time limit on this.
I couldn't.
We talked about one of them. Literally talked about maybe two of them. Defenders.
Well, that's it.
Liverpool.
Yeah. One of them is an icon for another club.
Hello.
Yes. Good yeah. Show. The sub. Liverpool sub. Yeah. He's very famous for doing something for another club.
Doing something for another club.
Against there's films about it.
Against Liverpool, funnily enough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fucking Benfica as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Him and Mark fucking Pembridge.
All right, mate. Lewis, what
place are
you?
Mark Thomas, yeah. Oh, fabulous.
So you could have had.
Was it Michael Thomas?
Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas was the sub for Liverpool. Obviously scored the goal for Arsenal at Anfield. Jason McAteer.
Oh, I definitely should have had that.
See, I told you I'd get
Mark Wright. Mark Wright. Do you know what? I got confused whether we'd mentioned that with Rob Jones and Mark Wright. I presume because we mentioned him so much.
That whole Liverpool defence, they could all just be each other.
Yeah.
Scales, Wright, Rob Jones, they're all fucked the same person in my eyes.
Anyway, well done. Good effort, Lewis.
Cheers. Thanks for
giving it the big one before, Ryan, about are you going to struggle? Because you were.
Yeah, I really did thought so. I didn't realise how bad everyone else was.
Yeah, same.
Right, you were
a patch and we've got to look into what happened to Neil Ruddock.
Loving.
Yeah.
Why is he in the suit?
He's definitely in the suit.
Who?
Yeah, Neil Ruddock is wearing the suit, but I.
It must be a match day squad, and then you pick your final.
He's just not putting a goalie on. What if who's going to go in net?
Pally.
I guess that was
I reckon so, yeah.
Ah, straight away, do you reckon? Yeah, good boys.
That was a dilemma back then, though, I think.
Yeah.
Rooney. Like, they've gone without a goalie.
You're right, on Football Manager, you didn't have to.
Yeah. And that all changed with Neil Warnock and Filly Agyelka, because he said he was as good as any sub-goal he's ever seen.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's why Sheffield United...
They never
in that era, never had a sub goalie because Phil Jagielka was there.
Oh, there's that video of Warnock, wasn't he? He's talking, they get a draw at Millwall or something, don't they? And he's talking Jagielka and he's like, and then he's taking the piss out of, who's the goalie they had?
Paddy Kenny.
He's taking the piss out, really.
It's always him or Patrick Keelty. I never get. Hey, both keepers.
Let's not go over old ground again.
Sorry, fuck, I forgot about that.
Sorry. All right, cool. Brilliant. All right, that was good fun. Thanks for that, chaps. Good discussions on football fashion and, congrats to Lewis on the quiz.
Wow, yeah, it was amazing.
I feel like it was a shared.
Yeah.
Like the charity shield.
Charity shield. Yeah. Cool. All right, boys, cheers.
Cheers, fellas.
Thanks.